Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. So Christmas tree costume may have spread COVID throughout a hospital.
Oh, God. This is a gift you don't want. Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas, everybody!
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, bad lungs!
Merry Christmas, Christmas tree!
Merry Christmas, high risk!
Merry Christmas, COVID-19!
Down goes who?
On Christmas Day, an employee at a San Jose, California hospital wore an inflatable Christmas tree costume to cheer up staff and patients. So, how did that work out?
Cheer up or choke up.
Now, 43 staffers have tested positive for coronavirus, and investigators are looking into the outbreak if it was linked to the inflatable costume. There was a fan in the costume to help keep the costume inflated. Apparently, it was unfiltered air.
Oops.
Doop-a-doop-a-doo.
It's one thing to, like, break gas in the thing, but...
See, I just thought everybody was sharing the costume. Like, you wear it, then I wear it,
right,
then he wears it.
No, only one sick person decided to use it.
Yeah.
Yes, they said.
So no one thought this one out.
No. They said, you know, it'd be really fun to cheer everybody up if you dressed in that, you know, Christmas tree outfit.
Everybody's wearing masks,
right.
Hand sanitizer.
Right.
They had good intentions.
I got a plastic tree. I'm good.
I'm going to take this tree with a fan, not wear a mask in the costume.
Right.
And then I'm going to walk into a hospital.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Now, why wouldn't someone at the hospital say, yeah, you can't come in here with that?
Because it's Christmas.
I can't let this parent come in and see their kid.
Yeah. No.
You and the tree.
You're the Christmas tree. Yeah. Come on in.
Yeah. Wait outside there, Tannenbaum.
Grandma, you're outside in the car.
Right.
But the Christmas tree with the fan.
Come on in. It's got bulbs on it. It's got bulbs of stars.
Jeez, we could all use a little pick-me-up.
I'm so happy. Come on in.
It's got bulbs on it.
It's right. Okay. It's got bulbs.
Why is the guy from B-52s working at the hospital?
It's a love shack. And it's got big bulbs on it.
It's a death trap.
It's a death tree.
All right. Here's Inside Edition's report.
An inflatable Christmas costume is being blamed for a fatal outbreak of COVID.
Fatal.
A staff member at the Kaiser Permanente Medical Center in San Jose, California, wore the inflatable Christmas tree in the ER on Christmas Day. But just days later, the virus spread through the hospital, afflicting 43 people and killing an emergency room clerk. Authorities believe a fan inside the costume that keeps it inflated sprayed the virus all over the emergency room.
That's gross.
Wow.
Sprayed.
Looking back, not a good idea. It was an error.
In the emergency room.
But you can't spell error without ER.
Wowie.
Error.
Now, did he drive there with the Christmas tree costume on?
Hmm.
Right. Rode a motorcycle.
You ever try to drive?
Yes. He was on a bicycle.
Oh, jeez.
Here comes COVID close. Here comes COVID close.
You ever tried to get to our... go to our Monsters Ball in a costume?
Yep.
Try to get in the car?
Yep.
Yeah, it is awkward.
You're going to have to sit in there with it deflated.
I saw one guy, the guy was dressed like a ship, get out of the back of a van.
Right. How'd that happen?
One guy's in a flatbed.
Right.
Wow.
A little cold on the way over here.
Room.
Yeah.
And somebody said, come on in.
Come on in!
Sure.
It's Christmas.
Oh, everybody's going to laugh.
Diseases won't affect anybody on Christmas. It's the miracle. Yep.
It really is unfortunate. I know he was just probably just trying to do a nice thing. You just can't be.
The fan was clearly overlooked.
I'm doing good.
I didn't get together with four friends on New Year's Eve. And this guy's walking into a hospital with a fan.
Mm-hmm.
Killed someone.
Seriously.
Killed somebody.
I drank and smoked cigars in my garage by myself.
Yeah.
And this guy, let me just walk into the ER.
I'm not a hospital worker.
Yeah. Come on in.
Right. I got a tree out with a fan. I want to cheer everyone up.
There's a coughing Christmas tree here. Wants to see everybody.
Right.
Coughing tree.
Did they take the tree's temperature? It should have been wired up. If it reached a certain temperature, the lights would come on.
Right, the star comes on. It means
right. You got to go.
Right.
Let's get you out of here.
Oh, you're at 100. Got to go.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Oh, coughing tree. Oh, coughing tree.
I really should have put that story at 7:20. That is dumbass news.
Yes, it is.
All right. DoorDash driver takes food back because she was unhappy with her tip. How much was the tip? This happened on Long Island. Let's go to our Long Island correspondent, AJ.
Yes, of course, this DoorDash person doesn't realize they did get a good tip. They're claiming that the ride was a lot longer than what it actually was.
Where'd they go? From where to
they
where?
They went from Commack to Smithtown, which is not like maybe like 5 to 7 miles tops.
It's not far.
Not far at all.
Take
this person claiming that it took a lot longer to get there. If you were driving really, really slow, maybe. But
if you walk.
Exactly, but it's all in the audio.
All right, so this is the doorbell camera. This happened back in August, but we're just getting the audio now. The driver claimed she drove 40 minutes through the distance is about 5 to 7 miles, like AJ said. Here's the beginning of the video. The homeowner tells the driver through the intercom to leave the food at the doorstep, but she insists on speaking to him in person.
You can leave it. Thank you.
I need to speak to you. I don't think you realize where the food you ordered is coming from. I don't think you realize the distance, because then you would never have given what you gave. You can come and see face to face. I drove 40 minutes from the restaurant that you ordered from. Do you realize you ordered from Carmack and you're in Smithtown?
That's a 15, 20 minute drive.
It's not. You need to try to drive it. I just drove it. It's
I know you're
minutes.
Hungry, but at this point, take it back.
Right.
Like, there's no way I'm eating the food that you
no
brought.
Way.
No way.
No. I agree.
Yeah. No way, because you already damaged it.
We need to talk face-to-face?
Yeah.
No, we don't. Matter of fact, you eat that, you keep it.
Take
That's your
food.
Tip now.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
There's your tip.
Yeah.
Eat the food.
I got mac and cheese in the cabinet somewhere.
I'll order a piece with somebody else.
Can we get a report from Long Island, Commack to Smithtown? I mean, we already kind of know, but we just want confirmation
it's
from
only a couple
the
exits.
Island.
Yeah.
1-877-764-2535. You know, it would be important when this delivery was made.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes that expressway becomes parking lot.
It depends. Unless
but she didn't say traffic.
Right.
She said it's Commack to Smithtown.
She could have taken Route 25 also.
Okay.
There's a little more on this clip.
Okay.
That's a 15, 20 minute drive.
It's not. You need to try to drive it. I just drove it. It's 40 minutes. It's 12.5 miles.
No, it ain't.
It's 5 to 7.
Yeah, it ain't 12.5 miles. Would you take?
She got stuck in a roundabout.
Took a scenic route. Yeah,
she just kept going around.
Would you go to the mall first in Huntington and come back?
She used AJ's GPS.
That GPS is gone.
To Cromwell to go to Wallingford.
I got Siri now, so don't worry about that.
All right.
She's gonna start talking to you now.
Shut up.
Oh, please.
Siri will not talk to me right now.
Please.
She's not talking to me right now. See?
So the fight continued. The driver tells the man that he needs to adjust the tip to account for her driving time. In the end, she takes his food and leaves.
So I think you need to adjust your tip to make it right.
How much is the tip?
You gave an $8 tip.
What the hell are you looking for? I gave an $8
tip. Okay, I'm going to bring the food back. Okay.
$8? That's a lot.
40
minutes it took her to get
$8 is super appropriate.
That is a good amount, yeah.
What was the bill, though, right?
It was like
45. If it sounds like there's two people there.
Yeah.
When you order DoorDash, because I do it all the time, they give you three options for tip, depending on percentage, how much you want to tip.
How's that wedding diet going? Go ahead.
You can't even walk out of your own house into your own
car.
Hey,
she calls him. They're like, oh, Ashley, we'll be right over. The usual.
I wore gym clothes yesterday. I didn't do anything in them.
All
but
the DoorDash people know.
That was for comfort.
I wore them.
That was for comfort.
We're actually in transit right now. We preempted this order.
Yes.
They get to the door. How's Eric?
How's Darby?
How's Papa G, Mama G?
See Godfather yet?
How's Chelsea enjoying the pool table?
Jerk.
All right, so what do you leave as a so there are options.
Yeah, you actually pay. You give them a tip before they even bring it to you.
Yep.
So if this woman was unhappy with the tip, I don't think she should have just not picked up the order.
Can you not take the job? Someone else would take it?
I think it's like Uber in that way. Yeah, I'm assuming. I've never worked for DoorDash.
Right.
Just been on the end of receiving the food. But yeah, you know ahead of time what that person tipped.
$8 tip's a good tip.
Yeah, someone just called in from the island, said, yeah, it's 15 minutes. Yeah, $8 seems like a good tip, right?
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
If you use like $5 or something like that, you know, $8 is pretty good.
And, yeah. And Ashley, I don't know if it's DoorDash or one of the others, but don't they give you like a percentage of the tip? So it's not even like you can just plug in a dollar amount.
Yes, you choose the percentage you want to tip, and then it shows you what that dollar amount would equate to.
What's the lowest percentage you can give?
I think it's 8, 10, and 15, I think.
It might not have been that much food.
I mean, I can order food right now.
It could be like 2 burgers.
15 seems low for delivery.
It could be 10, 15, and 20. It's something like right there.
The folks around my house that deliver,
uh-huh.
I always tip them really well, and then I say, when you see my address, you come here first.
Yeah.
I want it hot. I don't want it at the end of your run.
Like Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Right.
We see your address.
Yeah.
We'll come here first.
Do you hear about this Bond girl?
The woman
from the 70s show and yep. Charlie's Angels.
That was
Tanya Roberts. She was dead and then not dead.
She got better.
Yeah, well, her boyfriend, you know, it's a sad story. I think she had some kind of intestinal thing.
She collapsed.
She collapsed, but it was some intestinal thing that went and shut down her organs one at a time. So, and it poisoned her blood, so she's not going to make it. And the hospital people told her boyfriend to go say goodbye. He sits down by her bed, touches her. She opens her eyes. He's like,
what's going on here?
She's good. The hospital people said, nah, it's just a reaction.
Man, that's terrifying.
You probably shocked her.
That is heartbreaking.
So he said goodbye, horribly sad. He leaves. He thinks he'll never see her again. He calls the publicist, tells the publicist she's gone. Basically didn't say that, but it, like kind of in code.
Yeah,
not going to see her
implied,
again.
Implied.
I said my last goodbye,
implied,
I believe
yeah.
is exactly what he said.
Right.
So the publicist releases the story. It's a slow news cycle. It's everywhere.
Yep.
Everywhere. King of the Nerds was disappointed. He didn't say it yesterday on the show.
Uh-huh.
Big story. And then the boyfriend's doing an interview on television and gets a call that she's still alive.
Now you're telling me that she's alive? Oh, thank the Lord. Thank God.
What just happened, Lance? What was that?
The hospital's telling me she's alive. And they're calling me from the ICU team.
So the hospital just called you right now and told you that Tanya's still alive?
Yeah,
isn't that what he just said?
You were standing in the air hose.
Right. Good.
And?
Yeah. I'm so happy.
Wow.
I cashed your insurance policy already.
Wow. It's a sad story.
You know what, though?
It's a very sad reaction, but right. The sound itself, can you play that again? It sounds like he's coughing.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. Wow.
So I say F it.
He's vigorously sobbing.
I don't remember her. Does anyone remember her?
Well, she's Midge in the 70s show. That was Donna's mother, the blonde lady.
Yeah.
Always wore the tight shirts, you know, with the ample bosom.
Ample bosom.
She was also, Sheena, something like that? I forget. There was some movie in the 70s, like Sheena the Jungle or something like that.
Yeah.
But I remember yesterday, all over Facebook, everybody's like, oh, Tanya Roberts, the whole nine yards, right? The best one was Andre. Andre was Tanya Roberts, he had her as Sheena the Jungle and all this stuff, right? You know, God rest her soul, something like that. And then like about an hour later, it's like, scratch that.
He believes we had a recent alien encounter. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Morning.
Professor Avi Loeb. And,
good morning.
Good morning.
Why
do you think we had a encounter with an extraterrestrial?
Well, I don't know if we had, but in 2017, there was a very peculiar object that was identified close to Earth that came from outside the solar system. And it didn't look like any rock, asteroid, comet or anything that we have seen before from within the solar system. It had very peculiar properties, and I described them actually in a book that is coming out in 3 weeks, Extraterrestrial.
The first sign of intelligent life beyond Earth. All right, tell us what happened, because it was interesting what happened around the sun.
Yeah, so this object came close to Earth, but we discovered it. It was discovered in Hawaii on Mount Haleakala. There is a telescope called Pan-STARRS that discovered it on the 19th of October, 2017.
So that would be where the movie starts, if this was a movie. There's some guy in a giant telescope in Hawaii, and he's like, what is that?
Right. When the credits end, all of a sudden it's this guy in the telescope.
No, that's the beginning.
Well, I should,
the first scene.
In the beginning part. There's credits in the beginning, too, you know. Produced by so-and-so. Yeah,
okay, yeah, maybe in 1972. They put the credits at the end now. All right, go ahead.
I should mention that I had yesterday, I had two contacts from film producers, and I have one condition that Brad Pitt will play me in the movie.
That's a good condition.
I don't think he could pull off your accent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, don't underestimate Brad Pitt.
That's true.
He's a star.
Yeah. If he did a Nazi, you could do him.
At any event, when the object was discovered, of course, immediately astronomers thought it must be like the asteroids or comets we have seen in the solar system. It just came from another star. And then they started taking data, and it looked like it's very weird. It was changing its brightness tenfold when it was tumbling around, and that implied that it has a very extreme geometry, most likely elongated, pancake-like, at least 10 times longer than it is wide. And then it exhibited a push away from the sun that for comets is provided by the rocket effect when gases evaporate, when you have solid ice on the surface that gets warmed up by sunlight. You end up with a cometary tail, and we see that in comets. But there was no tail, no cometary tail visible. And also the Spitzer Space Telescope looked very closely at this object and couldn't detect any trace of gas around it. And so the question was, what provides the extra push? And we suggested that it may be that the object is very thin and just the reflection of sunlight is giving it the extra push. And we wrote a paper about it. And then it became viral because it would imply that the object is artificially made. Nature does not produce very thin surfaces, but we do. It's called a light sail. And this is a technology that is currently being developed by us as a way of propelling cargoes into space. If you shine light at the sail, it gives it a push. And the sail doesn't need to carry any fuel with it. So that's the great advantage of this technology.
Yeah. So do you think it's space junk from us, space junk from someone else, or a spaceship from somewhere else?
Okay. So first of all, it cannot be space junk from us because it was moving too fast. And, you know, it spent less than a year in our vicinity, and there was no mission that launched anything to that huge speed. We don't know how to launch things to that speed, actually, as of now. I should say that in September, just a few months ago, there was another object spotted, and it was showing again an extra push. But then when they extrapolated the orbit back in time, they figured that in 1966, it actually came from the Earth. And it turns out that there was a lunar lander, Surveyor 2, that was launched in 1966.
I remember that, yeah.
I was wondering when that stuff was going to come back
exactly
to us.
Exactly right, yeah. Oh, here it is.
Yeah, and there was a rocket booster that was kicked into space, and then they discovered it. At first, the astronomers gave it a name as if it's a rock or something. But then, it's a hollow structure, and it's getting pushed by sunlight. And so when you have a very thin object, you can detect the fact that it moves differently than a rock because, sunlight reflecting off it gives it an extra push.
So you don't think that this other thing is too – you think the other thing is too thin to be something from us?
No, not. It's not a matter of being thin. It's just that there was no mission in 2017 that launched anything to a speed as high as Oumuamua was moving.
But wait, that rocket came back from 66. This couldn't be something from another mission?
Like early 70s?
From an Apollo mission?
No, because the trajectory of this object that came near us, Oumuamua, was such that it implied that it came from outside the solar system. It was moving too fast. It's not bound to the sun. All the objects that we are sending off, you know, are...
So you have to act like we don't know all this stuff.
Right, westbound, inbound.
Act like we weren't very good students.
Right.
We have Professor Avi Loeb on, Professor of Science at Harvard University, on thinking that it's possible we may have had an encounter with some alien garbage.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, the question is, what is it? You know, what is it? It could be trash. It could be, you know, we send out to space. We sent Voyager 1, Voyager 2, and then New Horizons. We are also sent, you know, there is lots of space junk that we distribute in space. So it's not clear what this thing
is.
Wait,
but that's what I was just saying. Wasn't I just saying that?
About space junk, yeah.
It could have been space junk from us, and you said, no, it was going too fast.
No.
The wrong direction.
It's moving too fast, exactly. So it could be from another civilization out there. You know, if they're sending stuff, or it's ripped off the surface of some spacecraft that
but
they
you're,
send.
You're,
I mean, it's clearly from outside the solar system because it's moving too fast.
All right, so your guess would be what? Rock, space junk from an alien.
Most likely space junk, I would say, based on everything I know.
From?
But the space point is junk that's from?
From
another civilization, that we are not alone. By the way, I don't think that, not only that we are not alone, I think that we are pretty average, and we are not the sharpest cookie in the jar, so to speak. You know, we are not.
Now, you're basing that on this conversation?
I would. This is why they don't come talk to us.
That was the nicest I've ever been insulted, ever.
You guys are stupid.
But you're right.
Yeah, it's true.
I get it. I totally get it.
I kind of relish it, actually. Yeah. But thank you. Yes.
No, I'm basing it on reading the newspaper every morning.
Oh, God. Right. And internet, Facebook.
Yeah. Look, I totally agree with you. We can't be it.
No.
You know, and we're getting out in space. We were just talking to a colonel of a space station. They're building this giant, massive, you know, structure that people live on out in space.
Yep.
You know, we're doing that now in a short period of time. When did we start the space program? In the 50s?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
You know, so if there's another civilization that's been out there for a lot longer.
Way advanced.
Yeah.
There has to be something more than us, right?
Cooler outfits. Yep.
Yeah.
You know, you might think that humans will not be able to adjust, adapt to space. But obviously, all our eggs are in one basket right now on Earth. But we need to move into space. And humans moved out of Africa and, you know, now live in apartment buildings in New York City, in Manhattan.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very different environment. And they survived and managed to adapt to that. So, going to space is not a bigger leap than moving from the jungles of Africa into Manhattan.
Right. Do we don't have the capabilities of going out and trying to get that piece of junk to see what it was?
No, because it's moving too fast. And the key is to collect more evidence by looking for similar objects in the future, sort of like messages in a bottle. You know, when I go on a beach for a vacation on a beach, I usually look at seashells, and each of them looks different, but they're naturally produced. Every now and then, I stumble across a plastic bottle. That indicates that there is a civilization out there that made it. And the same, you know, if we search space, we might find objects like that.
Yeah.
Any other evidence? What do you think about Roswell? You think that happened?
No, because I mean, all the the UFO reports, I have an issue with that because they do not stand up to the scrutiny of scientific evidence. You know, and also think about it. 50 years ago, we had fuzzy images of saucer-like objects and so forth. Now we have much better cameras,
and no one has a picture,
right?
And they still look fuzzy. So if indeed such objects existed and they were documented 50 years ago, by now we should have crisp images of them. We don't.
The thing with Roswell, though, is you had Air Force, you know, commanders and stuff talking to the press saying, spaceship.
Right.
And then they changed the story.
Of course. I mean, people can be fooled by instruments and by natural phenomena that happen. But, you know, I follow the evidence. As a scientist, I'm trying, you know, and the same is true about Oumuamua. Many of my friends, they say, oh, no, business as usual. Let's forget about it. I wish this object never existed, someone told me. And I think that's the wrong approach. As a scientist, you know, you have to accept whatever nature gives you. You know, you get some evidence. If it looks anomalous, you talk about it. You check the possibilities. So the whole point of science is getting as much evidence as possible.
What scientist would see something like this and say, yeah, I wish that didn't happen?
Right.
Let's go back to looking at rocks.
That I cannot understand.
Right.
This is really bad because
it could potentially be the most exciting discovery in the history of the planet.
Yeah. So you ask yourself, maybe we are not making discoveries of this type because we are not looking, because people have a prejudice.
That's a good point.
And that's really bad.
We thought the Earth was flat until someone, took a ride.
And said, hey, we didn't fall off.
Guess what?
Hey, check this out.
Wow,
well, actually, that's the story of Galileo. You know, he said the Earth moves around the sun. And then the philosophers at the time said, we don't want to look through your telescope. We know the answer. We see the sun moving in the sky. You know, it's consistent with our religious beliefs that we are at the center of the world. And forget about it. We will not look through your telescope. So what did they achieve by that? They remained ignorant. It didn't change the fact that the Earth moves around the sun. It's just that they remain ignorant. So my point is, you know, we can put blinders and refuse to look at evidence when it comes along. But that is just, you know, maintaining our ignorance. And
what's interesting, though, is that this show might be talking to our Galileo.
Right.
Mm.
Well, you know, I was born.
I know. That sounds ridiculous. How did we get Galileo on the phone?
Well, it's all booking, you know.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Do your colleagues think you're nuts or?
It's different terminology.
What do they think?
I should say I don't really care about my colleagues. I don't care how
good
many likes I have on Twitter.
The only reason
I get some public, media attention and so forth is because I think my colleagues are not behaving as true scientists. They are having a prejudice. They don't want to discuss this possibility whatsoever. And that's not the right approach. If they would come with evidence that demonstrates, you know, that this is a naturally made object, that there is a scenario to explain all the anomalies very naturally, I would accept that. If there was a photograph of this object, I would accept that. All I'm advocating is collecting more data,
Let's look at this.
I should say one more thing that, you know, the fact that, you know, half of the sun-like stars in the Milky Way galaxy are thought right now by the mainstream to have a planet like the Earth. So if you roll the dice billions of times, what's the chance that we are the only ones? You know, like that makes no sense whatsoever.
None.
I would say the conservative approach, I would say that the mainstream is nuts, because the conservative approach would be to say, if you replicate the conditions you have on Earth on so many places, you know, billions of places, you get the same outcome. So why would you think that we are alone? Let's check. You know, let's look for the evidence rather than say we know the answer. Anyone that talks about this subject is nuts. I mean, that to me makes not zero sense. It's not healthy for a scientist to have a prejudice.
Well, you made me want to buy the book now.
See that?
Extraterrestrial, the First Sign of Intelligent Life Beyond Earth, Professor Avi Loeb, professor of science at Harvard University. Thanks for coming on. A British man tried to sneak a samosa into jail.
Oh, Samoas?
No. Samosa.
A samosa.
What's a samosa?
Savory.
It's a little fried. It looks like a rangoon. It has filling on the inside.
That was a rangoon.
It has filling on the inside. Yeah. How do you get that between your butts without squeezing out the filling?
Seriously.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
Right.
No, but how does the filling not come out?
Right. What does it taste like afterwards?
So what's a rangoon? Crab rangoon? You've never had crab rangoon?
Yeah, it's like a fried dumpling, basically.
Gotcha. His ass, thank you.
He was worried about not having good food in jail.
Right.
I'd rather have jail food than food from my ass.
Butt exactly. food.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
How bad do you think this food is?
Right.
I don't know. Was it in a plastic baggie?
We don't know that.
I don't know if that makes it better.
Right. At least chocolate they are now.
Yeah, that would make it better than just having it back there.
Right.
You still got to take the baggie out, and then your fingers touch the baggie.
Yeah, I was going to have to sort of package. How is it delivered?
Well, they're also triangular shape, so pointy and sharp. Ouch.
Yeah, it was UPS, my butt.
Police discovering the fried pastry said it was one of the most unusual incidents of 2020.
I would have made him eat it right there.
That's your punishment. The most
that's
unusual.
Great.
That's,
right, that, that's, of 2020.
That was the moment. They're like, wow, this year, man.
This capped it off. Right? I wasn't sure, but boy, saw this.
Yeah, it was. I thought 2020 was weird, and then I pulled a pastry out of a guy's ass.
Right. That was good.
Yeah.
That was light and flakier.
So they have to be like, well, we've seen everything else. We've seen drugs, syringes.
Sure. Weapons.
Right. Pack of cigarettes.
Phones. Right.
Hand grenade.
Cupcakes.
Right, yeah.
Plunger.
All the usual pastry.
Change.
This was something else.
Bottle right. of shampoo.
Now, if it was a Twinkie, they would have talked.
Dozen eggs.
With a Twinkie, now it's a Chocodile.
Lasagna.
Right.
Pastry. That's a weird one.
What?
Right.
And it's savory? Come on, guy.
And a serving dish. Kept it warm.
Right, yeah. You had a fork and knife with it, too. Exactly.
Drink. Napkin.
Right. Champagne.
It doesn't mention if they let him eat it.
I would have made him eat it. Tell you what, you won't face any charge if you eat this right now in front of us.
Right. Let me get my cell phone out.
Hang on a second. This is going to go viral. We'll be on Tasho. Here we go.
How do you prepare for something like that? I think you're scrubbing your butt really good.
You start off small, first of all. Yeah. Little objects like grape.
What do you mean? You start with a grape?
A grape, you know, to prepare yourself.
It wasn't up there. It was between the cheeks, right?
I don't know. Was it?
They got to be big cheeks.
Right, because you just take one step, you're squeezing out the filling.
If your cheek is that big, you can hide a fried object. You need to stop eating fried objects.
Discovering a fried pastry.
Yeah, no one does this for like a carrot or a cucumber. It's like, I got to get my fresh veggies in there.
Something healthy.
Well, cucumber.
Right.
Well, some girls.
But not to sneak in to eat.
Exactly. Right.
Hide things in their big boobs.
I've got your
sort cucumber. Of similar, different end.
Well, hiding it between his buttocks.
Oh.
So not in.
Right, but still.
Between.
I don't
between.
Care. I don't care how clean your ass is. You're going to sweat eventually.
Well, you can't sit down.
You can't.
Right?
Right, right.
It's oh, no. Feel like... Yeah, the ride over. On the...
Right.
Right. There goes my eclair. Why is there cream on your back? Ah, damn my eclair.
That should be a game. What can we put in AJ's butt?
Usually it's... Never mind.
Thank you for editing yourself.
Usually I have Phil up there.
Yeah.
You must have to take tiny steps, right?
Yeah.
All right. So
yeah,
I just said,
yeah, penguin shuffle.
Right.
You start with the grape.
Right. Make sure you don't kill that.
All right.
You got to train.
Yeah.
You got to train, you know?
And then where do you go from there? A Dunkin' Munchkin?
A cookie. I'm thinking like a cookie, like a sandwich cookie.
Mm.
Sandwich cookie, Dunkin' Munchkin eventually, yes. Something cream-filled, this way, you know, you can ass control.
Yeah, I don't care how hard you scrub or clean, there's just, I'm not going to put any food back there and think this will be better than jail food.
Exactly, right.
I'll take my chances with the jail food.
Right. If buns of steel, forget about it.
And then, right, yeah, Ashley said you got to take small steps, so penguin walk.
You mm-hmm. do. Yeah. Right. Like, you know. Like, what's up your butt? Well, cookies.
A samosa.
A samosa.
This samosa tastes like ass.
That's my mom's recipe.
Mm. All right. Minnie Mouse fights a security guard in Las Vegas.
Oh, no.
All right.
Yeah, this is one of those women, like, you've seen them in Times Square dressed like, a character.
Yeah.
And they take the pictures or whatever.
The cheap version.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Right,
oh, they always look like
the quill of a dumpster.
You know, it's like Spider-Man down on his luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spider-Man, the bad years.
Spider-Man had a bad night.
Right.
Yeah, wow, you got a big belly there, and man, that when's the last time you were at the laundromat, Spider-Man?
That wasn't a web you slung.
Right. Yeah, and then they're fighting over who gets the picture.
Exactly, right, right. That's what you say, superheroes clash. They said Minnie was acting goofy, apparently.
Well, I had, I did a picture with Spider-Man in Times Square.
Right.
And I thought it was free. And I'm starting to walk away. He's like, oh, no, money. I'm like, you got to state your deal up front.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, how much will the picture
tell
be?
Tell me.
Right. You're Peter Parker. Come on.
And they start swearing at me.
Oh.
I'm like, you're Spider-Man.
That's un-Spider-Man-like.
Spider-Man does not right. swear.
His spider sense is tingled.
I wish I had a can of Raid, like, in my bag.
Yeah, it's called pepper spray.
Goodbye, Mr. Spider-Man.
Goodbye.
Yeah, it's not like he could claim, like, oh, that was definitely me in the picture. We can't see your face.
Yeah.
How right. do we know?
Yeah. Right.
It was another Spider-Man.
Yeah, if you don't pay, what happens? You sue me. Walk right. away.
Come and get me, Spider-Man.
Good luck.
Usually they get violent.
Yeah. No, the guy was swearing at me. Spider-Man was swearing at me.
Of course. He was slinging insults.
Webs.
Right. Mm.
Yes, webs also.
Well, you know, a real spider fires its web out its ass.
Right.
I'd like to see Spider-Man do that.
Shot a cookie out.
That was a samosa. It was not a cookie.
Are you hungry?
Man survives tool falling 8 stories, landing on his head.
That's what it sounded like.
Oh, boy.
He had to sound like an A.J. Flubble montage after that, right? You okay? The diapers for what happened now.
Or maybe it made
the dryer sheets
sound
for
better.
What happened now. The diapers for what happened. What?
Right.
You okay? Sit down.
I'm going to go home and go right to bed.
A businessman had a brush with death when a spanner became wedged in his skull.
Not spanning anymore.
It dropped from the 8th floor of a high-rise building. The almost 6-inch tool was dropped by a worker installing an air conditioning unit.
Whoops.
And cool if it was a hammer, you know, nail right in the head.
That's one of those, if you're one step ahead or one step behind, it doesn't hit you.
Yeah, exactly right. It's a story like, oh, it almost hit me.
Wow, that was close.
It could have been the air conditioning unit.
Yeah, what is that feeling, you know?
Bing.
Besides the tool, what goes through your brain when that happens?
Part of the tool.
Did a guy drop it?
Yeah.
Right. Guy's working yell? On it.
Right.
Guy said, you gotta yell.
He said, yeah. Put it anywhere. 8 stories up. By the time he yells, it gets this way I look upwards to get it right in the eye instead. Look
hey,
out!
Watch out. What? Boom.
Boom. Yes.
Mush.
You right. gotta yell. I feel like you have to.
No, you keep it quiet.
Right, but you don't know what this guy's doing. He's maybe walking down there texting, not listening.
Exactly.
Or maybe the guy who dropped the tool didn't just have it in his hand and drop it.
Right.
Maybe something like on a ledge and he's moving the air conditioning in it. Or it came out of his tool belt.
Yeah, his pocket.
So the guy collapsed on the ground, which seems like a normal reaction.
Yeah.
You have a 6-inch tool drop 8 stories, hit you in the head.
I would think, yes.
But he was still awake.
Oh.
Despite the massive dent in his head.
Ouch.
I got a dent in my head. Boom.
Ugh.
Yep.
Shocking images of the man lying on the ground with the spanner impaled in the top of his skull were shared online.
I want to see them.
Yeah, I'm looking them up, too.
Spanner.
What is the guy spanner? Was believed to be in his 50s.
Oh, to be? Was he dead now?
Incredibly, he remained fully awake.
Huh.
He underwent successful surgery.
Nice. Would you keep that? I would think you'd keep it.
Do you see it? apparently, that's a yes.
It's
it's
like part of Good
It's
Fellas.
Magic. It's magic.
It's tragic.
It landed sharp. It looks like a wrench. It landed sharp part down, and the two pieces that adjust landed in his skull.
Yeah, it's like a crab claw.
Yeah, nice. The x-ray shows it sticking literally straight up and out of the top of his skull.
What are the odds on that, huh? Well.
What did you Google to see those pictures?
Man hitting head with spanner tool. And then you just go to images. It's right there.
Fine, I'll do it too. Right.
Some other things popped up that aren't exactly.
That's a different kind of tool I'm seeing.
I like how everyone's standing around. No one wants to help them.
Yeah, you're on your own, buddy. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm going to stand 5 feet away from you.
I'm on the phone to
for
further assistance, but that's the extent of my experience in this matter.
It looks like if you pull it out of his head, then you became King of England. He who pulls the wrench from his head to become King of England.
Oh, God.
It looks like he's just thinking with, like, the tool on top of his head.
He does. Like, he's sitting down. Yeah.
I'm forgetting something. What is it?
He's in agony.
Yeah. Oh, the x-ray.
The x-ray.
Yeah. So it's an adjustable wrench. That's what a spanner is?
You know what's cool? He's wearing a mask.
Who the hell calls that?
Well, he's safe.
Right. He looks like he's sitting there like, man, I knew I didn't have to leave my house today. Why?
Ugh.
It looks like the spanner was open to about the half-inch nut size.
I'm thinking 10 millimeter. Like,
so the two ends of the wrench are stuck in his head. Right. You know, the only thing that can make this worse is if a bolt of lightning hit that wrench.
Right.
Hit that wrench. He's like a human lightning rod right now.
Right.
He'd blow a samosa right out his ass.
Shocking.
His phone would be charged forever, though.
Or bake one, yes. Now it'd be cool with a hammerhead. Hey, hammerhead.
Jesus.
Hammer time.
Apparently, a spanner is also a type of a crab. So the other images I got that came up were man with spanner crab on his head. Just sitting there.
Which head?
Gazy. Top of his head.
The guy's holding his head. Well, he was drinking a water bottle or someone handed him water.
No, they rolled it to him. They're like, here you go, man.
Yeah, I don't want to get too close.
Right.
If you need help opening the cap, you got the tool right there.
Wash your head off. Wash your head off.
Oh, man. Imagine if that's your good wrench.
Right.
It's like, son of a.
It's a craftsman. Get it back eventually.
Yeah. It's a craftsman. You get a guarantee.
Right. Is it bad that I'm thinking, don't touch it because that guy's fingerprints are on it and you can totally prosecute him? The guy that dropped it?
Right.
Looks very painful.
Yeah, it does.
Right.
I wonder if you move the wrench slightly, if he'll speak different languages.
Right. Different levels of intelligence.
Spanish mode.
Or like it'll make like parts of his body move.
Like when you're scratching the dog's belly.
Exactly. Like. Well, we found the part of his brain moves his body.
Right. Starts doing like sign language with his left hand.
Like a marionette puppet.
Yeah.
What was it, yodeling?
Yeah, you know, like they do those little dances there, the marionettes. They dance the clog.
That's from Sound of Music.
Exactly right.
I got the Spanish.
Oh, Jesus. We all sound like we had wrenches to the head. JJ spent most of his vacation time on Facebook.
Yes, I did. Daytime, nighttime, during the day, yes.
What's in there that's so exciting?
I don't know. It's like OCD. I just can't help myself. I have to go through Facebook.
What are you looking for when you're on there? Memes? Videos,
memes, likes,
photos, all kinds of stuff. Yeah. You also want
cars, hot girls, kittens.
Cars, comedy, cats, yep.
You like the interaction, though. Like, if someone comments on your post, you usually respond
exactly
nearly immediately.
Right, because I have no life, basically, yes.
It's not what I said, but
no, I'm telling myself that, yes. Yeah. Not you.
No, but I love your priorities. Facebook comments, don't worry about retirement funds.
No.
Right, exactly, right.
Yeah.
We're living for the Facebook likes.
That'll just happen, yes.
Living for the likes.
You know what? At this point, you just give up and say, you know what? I'm just going to enjoy life, what life throws at me, you know? That whole planning crapola, you know?
Yeah, screw that.
Exactly, right.
Throw
caution to the wind.
You haven't planned this far. Why start now?
I'll be the funniest Walmart greeter you meet when I'm 80.
Good.
There you go. See?
You'll still be active when you're 80. I buy that.
Goals.
Hmm.
Exactly.
You'll be funny, but also cranky.
I'll have the coolest car in the parking lot.
Like he is now.
Right.
So your most fun on Facebook over the vacation was what?
You old.
You know what I noticed? No. I noticed a lot of folks losing their minds because Facebook now is like, a lot of my friends, their posts are being either censored or taken down. Yeah. And everybody's losing their minds about this, about the fact that, like, wait, I just posted this, and all of a sudden, like, all my friends, like, most of them, like, just got out of Facebook jail for 3 days. I was in Facebook jail for 3 days.
Yeah.
You know? But you can't post anything anymore. They censor everything.
How much was bail?
Twitter's better, right?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Not really.
Not really, no.
I mean, if you get there's one political point of view they don't like, but if you're just posting, you know, wacko other stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, you can post all the boobs you want on Twitter.
Right.
Yeah, and apparently also on Facebook. But if you put like an old man grabbing his crotch saying, here's your like, that got me in Facebook jail for 3 days.
You can't post boobs on Facebook.
I put up, you know, there was this cookies of like, it was like two cookies like doing it. And it said a major effing cookies. And that got me in Facebook jail also.
Yeah.
But I posted like 2 years ago. It was a memory. I posted it again, and I got thrown in Facebook jail. Wow. Does not meet our community guidelines standards.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
Where were you 2 years ago?
But yet the picture of what's her name, that with the comedian holding the President Trump's head, bloody head, that was okay.
Hmm.
That was okay to be on there, but bunch of cookies fornicating was not allowed on there. So a lot of my friends getting kicked
now,
off.
Now, are they
Facebook.
Making little cookies?
I have no
baby
idea.
Baby cookies, yeah.
I don't know. We never got
to finish. They start by making icing.
Yeah, we never got to find out. You know, were they sandwich cookies? Were they stuffed cookies? No idea.
Just visualizing the icing. All right.
So you need a moment. You don't want to see them make the chocolate chips.
Ashley, no. Get out of the room. Get out of Come in here.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.